one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Scripture uses many different metaphors to describe the Christian church. For example, in various places in Scripture, the church is described as the family of God. As the family of God, we are called to encourage one another, support one another, care for one another, love one another, and be a place of hope and healing. In other places, Scripture describes the church as the bride of Christ. As the bride of Christ, the church is called to be holy and pure, to be a place where the name of Christ is honored. Here in this passage, Paul uses another metaphor to describe the church. He uses the analogy of a physical human body. Now, of course, we all know what a physical body is. The human body is like a machine, but it's far better than anything we could ever manufacture. Even the computers and smartphones we use every day are modest attempts to duplicate what happens at an amazing speed and with incredible variety inside our brain. Your brain is continually sending billions of bits of information to control every single action, right down to the flicker of your eyelid. The human body is a remarkable thing. It bears witness to the wonder, power, and creativity of the God who designed us. One of the most amazing things about our body, though, is how it works together in unity. We don't even think about it, but the cells, organs, and parts of our body have a job to do as they work together in unity and purpose. But there is a problem, isn't there? Although the human body is complex and remarkable, it is also subject to sickness and disease. We live in a world that is experiencing the effects of human sin, and consequently our bodies physically wear out, or they become vulnerable to serious illness. Many of us take good health for granted until we experience sickness. At that point, we realize that good health is one of the most important things we can have. And this is one of the points Paul is actually making in 1 Corinthians 12. He's saying, like a human body, the local church can be in a healthy state or it can be in a state of sickness. Like a human body, when the local church is healthy, the members are working together in unity to fulfill a common purpose. All the parts and members of the local body should be busy using their gifts and their talents to serve Christ, to enable the church to fulfill its God-given mission. Today, I want to point you to various scripture references as we explore several signposts of a healthy church. What kind of church receives the favor or blessing of God? There are many things that define a healthy church or a church that is blessed by God, but let's look today at six key signs. First, a healthy church seeks to glorify the name of Christ. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Here in this verse, Peter is speaking about using our spiritual gifts in the service of Christ. He tells us that the goal of using our gifts is to glorify God. That's the ultimate goal. More specifically, the church is called to glorify the name of Christ by doing what he calls us to do and by being the kind of people he calls us to be. First and foremost, a healthy church, a church that is blessed by God, is Christ-centered. From the teaching ministries to the worship ministry and everything in between, our focus is to be following Christ and seeking to make his name great. I was reading this week about a family, and they were headed out on the highway this past summer for a long 10-hour drive to their vacation destination. As the husband drove, they came to a large road sign. And the sign said, "Road closed, do not enter." Well, the man proceeded to drive around the sign because he was confident that it would save them time. His wife told him, "This is a huge mistake. You need to turn back." But there was no convincing this persistent road warrior that he should obey the warning sign. Well, after about 10 kilometers of successful navigation, he began to brag to his wife about how smart he was, about how he had saved so much time. He'd probably saved at least an hour of driving time by taking this shortcut. His proud smile was quickly replaced with humble sweat when the road led to a washed-out bridge. He turned the car around and retraced his tracks to the main road. When they arrived back to the original warning sign, he was greeted by large letters on the back of the sign that said, "Welcome back, silly fool." Apparently it's a true story, but... And I think it's a lesson we all need to learn, isn't it? That sometimes trying to take a shortcut, trying to accomplish life on our own terms, can result in negative consequences. And when it comes to life within the local church, we need to be careful that we are not pursuing our own agendas or trying to follow Jesus on our own terms. We must be careful that our direction isn't clouded by human opinions or traditions. This leads us to a second point. A church blessed by God, a healthy church, is a place where Scripture is faithfully taught and believers seek to apply it to their lives. Acts chapter 2 is a wonderful chapter about the early church, and it tells us the members of the early church were devoted to the apostles' teaching. As the Christian church was being formed, God appointed the apostles as teachers of the church. Their teaching has come to us today in the form of the New Testament. And a characteristic of church health is that its members take the authority of Scripture seriously. People are teachable, and they want to know, they want to understand how to apply Scripture to their day-to-day life. They seek to live under the authority of Scripture, obeying it and putting its commands and principles into daily practice. Here's a third sign of a healthy church. Prayer is a central activity. Acts 2:42 also tells us that the early church was devoted to prayer. They spent time confessing their sins, praying for one another, asking God to provide for their needs, and thanking him for their blessings. For a church to be the kind of church Jesus promised to build, there must be a deep commitment to seeking God through prayer. Many churches are full of programs, but there's little time set aside to pray. A church that God will truly bless understands that prayer is a vital necessity if we are to experience a genuine move of God in people's hearts and lives. The early church that we read about in the book of Acts was a church under great, great stress. They were facing persecution. They were growing numerically and trying to disciple and teach a large group of new believers. But they were devoted to prayer because they understood that no matter how busy or under pressure we are, prayer is central to the life of God's people. Prior to the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City, John Akwari of Tanzania had won several marathons back in Africa, running with times under 2.5 hours. He easily qualified for the 1968 Olympic Games. But in Mexico City, Akwari encountered an obstacle that he had never faced before, which was the altitude, which caused him to suffer severe leg cramps as he was running the marathon. But still, he kept running. About halfway through the race, he became tangled up with some other runners and he fell to the ground. He actually dislocated his knee, scraped up his leg, and separated his shoulder. But he refused to stop. With terrible injuries and cramped muscles slowing him down, he labored on and finished the race. He was one of 75 people who started the race, and he was the last runner to finish it. When he finally entered the arena for the final lap, there were a couple of thousand people still left in the stadium to watch him complete the marathon. He finished dead last, and he was actually more than an hour behind the runner who was completed it in front of him. A cheer went up for him as he circled around the track, hobbling around. After the race, he was interviewed by a reporter. And the reporter asked Akwari, "Why didn't you quit when you were hurt and bruised, bloody and discouraged? Why didn't you just quit?" His answer, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." Scripture uses many, many different metaphors to describe the Christian life. And one of those metaphors comes from the book of Hebrews, where the Christian life is described as a long-distance race. By using the illustration of a long-distance race, the writer of Hebrews is telling us that following Christ is not a quick and easy road. It's a journey that involves struggle, difficulty, and perseverance. In Luke 18, Jesus told a parable about a persistent widow to teach us that persistence in prayer and persistence in general in our faith pays off. It pays off because God welcomes our sincere prayers, and He rewards those who persistently seek Him. God blesses the church that persists in faithfulness and in prayer. Here's a fourth sign of a healthy church, a church God blesses. Outreach and discipleship are core values. A church that is being shaped and led by the Holy Spirit is always concerned about the outside world. A Spirit-led church is always concerned about the pain, grief, and spiritual needs of people both inside and outside the church. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus commissioned his disciples to go into the world and make disciples, teaching them to obey all he commanded. This is the mandate of the church. Our responsibility is to reach out into our world and into our community with the hope of the gospel and allow the Holy Spirit to work through our obedience. A church that has God's blessing is always concerned about the physical and spiritual needs of people outside the church. Conversely, when a church is indifferent about the lost community around them or not seeking to reach the lost, it's a sign that things are not right. Scripture gives us a fifth sign of a healthy church. God blesses the church where the virtues of love and generosity are present. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." According to Jesus, the mark of a true disciple is love. And Paul expressed it this way in 1 Corinthians 13:13. He said, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Biblical love is not a warm emotion. It is something that we express through our actions. And when we look around the room today, we come from different backgrounds. We come from different cultures, and that's a great thing. We are united by our faith in Christ. This unity in Christ should result in love and care for one another. I was reading Acts chapter 11 this week, and it describes how the church at Antioch in the first century was experiencing rapid growth. And verse 21 says something I think is really interesting. It says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. And it made me think God's hand can be with a church, or God can remove his hand of blessing from a church. Why was the Lord's hand with the church in Antioch? When you read their story in Acts 11, you will notice that this church was committed to several things: to sound biblical teaching, to sharing the gospel, and they were also characterized by generosity and love as their members cared for one another and met one another's needs. The church God blesses is filled with love and generosity. The Charles Street Jail in Boston, Massachusetts, used to be home to the city's most violent criminals. Over time, the Charles Street Jail became overcrowded, filthy, and severely damaged due to prison riots. The building was condemned way back in 1973, and the last inmates were transferred out in 1990. 17 years later and $150 million later, the Charles Street Jail became the Liberty Hotel, which is now one of the most luxurious and expensive hotels in the city of Boston. A few years ago, a former prison inmate visited the hotel, and he was stunned at the renovation. He said, I didn't know you could take something that was so horrible and turn it into something of tremendous beauty. The story of the Charles Street Jail is a story of transformation. The gospel message the church proclaims is also a message of transformation. Salvation is not about praying a prayer and continuing to live our lives as though nothing ever happened. When God's Spirit enters our lives, we are transformed, changed from the inside out. When people in our culture think about Christianity, they see Christianity as an irrelevant faith. They see it as a faith that speaks to the issues of the past. But the Christian faith is relevant because the gospel message has life-transforming power, and Christianity speaks to the key issues of the human heart. This leads me to one last point. A sign of a healthy church is a commitment to relevance for the sake of the gospel. I say a commitment to relevance for the sake of the gospel because it's not a commitment to be relevant for the sake of being trendy, but for the sake of sharing the gospel with our current culture. In 1 Corinthians 9:22, Paul said, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. The context of this verse is Paul's desire to adapt and change as necessary to win a hearing for the gospel, to win people to Christ. Without compromising God's word or compromising the gospel, Paul was willing to adapt so that he could relate to the culture around him and earn a hearing for the good news of the gospel. The local church needs to be willing to adapt and change to remain relevant. Don't confuse this with compromising the gospel message. Healthy churches value the purity of the gospel, but never allow fear to prevent them from reaching people who need Christ. As followers of Christ, we are members of his body. God expects us to contribute to the good health of the church body. How do we do that? Three quick points of application this morning. First, as part of Christ's body, I am called to be a unifying member. I should always consider whether my actions and words contribute to the unity of the church, to the unity of God's people. Second, as a part of Christ's body, I am called to work toward the good health of the church. Philippians calls us to adopt the attitude of Christ. Like Christ, I must seek to serve others, not seek to have things my own way. Third, as part of Christ's body, I am called to be part of God's mission to the world. The church is God's vessel of bringing redemption to a dying world. And far too often we get distracted by peripheral issues that distract us from our mission. Because we are part of his mission to the world, we must do whatever we can do to contribute to the health of Christ's body. Please join with me and let us close in prayer. Shall we? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the body of Christ and for the many metaphors in Scripture that are used to describe the church body. At times it is described as the family of God. At other times it is described as the bride of Christ. And here in 1 Corinthians 12, the church is described as a body, the body of Christ. And like a physical body, the church has many members. It has members who serve in different ways. But we are called to work together in unity to fulfill the purpose of the church of making disciples. Father, help us to be unifying members of your body. Help us at Parkway to be committed to the core priorities we've talked about today and that we've talked about in the month of January. Father, thank you for your goodness and blessing. May we continue to be a church that lifts high the name of Christ, teaches your word faithfully, and seeks to win the lost to Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mitch. When Pastor Mitch and I were talking about how to close the service today, there was a song that I came across. It wasn't very singable, but the words were incredible. So we've modified it to the tune of "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Pastor Mitch has been talking about we are members of Christ's body, and we're going to sing that song this morning. Would you stand with me as we sing "We Are Members of Christ's Body"?